If you have your Bibles, if you would take and turn with us this morning to Luke chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1. I leaned over and told Pastor Newhart as I walked out from Sunday school this morning and stepped into the study to take a quick look back over my notes and pray before I came out, I realized that I did not have my notes. And too late to go back home to get them, so I'm going from memory and trust that the Lord will. I did write down the thoughts that I remembered on a note card, so I've at least got that, but trust that the Lord will guide us through this morning. But I appreciate so much the kindness of our church family and the continued support and love that you continue to show our family, and I am very, very appreciative of that as you send different messages throughout the week letting me know that you're praying for us, and that's certainly is needed, and we appreciate that. Luke chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1, begin reading at verse number 26. We're actually going to do probably a little bit more flipping back from different accounts or from Matthew to Luke than what you are used to with in my preaching, in that usually we don't do much flipping back and forth. But I want us to look at one phrase that was used three times, and I want us to try to examine that this morning as we look at the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we try to focus on those scriptures over the next couple of weeks. I think that it is appropriate that we give reverence to the historical account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that regardless of what our world would try to have it be today, we understand the meaning and the significance, not of the season. We understand the significance and the meaning of the event of Jesus Christ dawning human flesh to come into the world. So let's look at verse number 26 of Luke chapter number 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, the phrase, if you've looked at the title of the message this morning in the bulletin, the phrase that we want to focus on is found in verse number 30. And that is, And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. We find that phrase, or those two words, fear not, used in three separate settings concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of those we're going to look at in our time together this morning as we outline a couple of passages of Scripture. Now, when you think of that phrase, fear not, fear is something that drives men and women to do things that they ordinarily would not do. In fact, fear is something that we must face day in and day out. Fears of the unknown and fears of things that that are beyond our control. Fear of bad news, fear of disease, and fear of many people fear death, and many people have trouble doing different things and succeeding or, propelling themselves to the next level in certain areas because of fear. Fear is a constraining force that can cause us, especially in the world that we live in, when you look at the bad news and the negative and the worried and the problems that are so prevalent. I'm not so sure that the problems are necessarily any more today. It's just that we have access to hear about them all of the time. And so there's so much negativity that's constantly pumped into us through media in different avenues that it's so easy for us to stay focused on those things. But it certainly is true, not just because of the account that we have in front of us this morning, but God does not expect His people to be lived by or to be controlled by and to live in fear. In fact, He's given to us not the spirit of fear, but He's given to us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. He doesn't want us to be afraid of our shadows. He doesn't want us to be fearful of the things that we can't control. In fact, He wants us to operate in the exact opposite of that, and that is in faith. So when the Scripture gives to us this text of fear not, and the accounts that we're going to look at, we're going to see some different areas that we need not fear. Now, the areas that we need not fear are very relevant for us this morning, just as much as they were for the hearers that were getting this news at the time Scripture was written. Now, when we look at the term fear not, it's easy for us to say, well, I'm not going to be afraid because I'm going to have faith. Or I'm not going to be afraid because I'm going to trust. And I'm not going to be afraid because I can't control it anyway. But really and truly, we do have fears. We have fears that we would speak of and that we would share with others, especially those that are close to us and that we share kind of those intimate things of our life with. But we also have fears that we wouldn't tell anybody about. We have fears that we would not want to verbalize or to vocalize. We have fears that we're not exactly proud of, fears that for whatever reason they just kind of have this way of kind of staying on the back burner of our mind, and it's things that we're not aware of. You realize there are people that even in the holiday season, there are people that fear now. They fear that they're not going to have the money to be able to do what they did last time. They fear that they're not going to be able to meet the expectations of getting from this location to that location, to this place, to that place. They fear that they're not going to be able to meet the expectations that others place on them. Perhaps those are, maybe we would think those are minor fears. But could I say this to you? I have learned in ministry that no matter how insignificant I think the fear of someone else is, if it's a fear that they wrestle with, it is a very real and a very relevant fear and concern that they have. And it's something that we should not dismiss casually or take lightheartedly. The fears that we would talk about from Scripture this morning when we're talking of Mary and the counsel that the angel had given to her of fear not, that is certainly, we can put ourselves in her shoes for a second and begin to rationalize those fears. But there's others. And so this morning I want us to take counsel. I want us to take the advice. I want us to take the admonition from God's Word, and that we, as we approach this season, we look at in light of the birth of Jesus Christ coming to be the sacrifice for mankind, while we can take comfort in knowing that we too have been given the advice of fear not. Let's pray together as we get started. Heavenly Father, in our next few moments together, I pray that You would make preaching easy. Lord, I pray that You would take and that You would remove the distractions that would hinder our mind, and that You would allow us to focus on what thus saith the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You would give us understanding. I pray that You would give us the ability to take and to respond appropriately. Lord, I would ask that You would give, Lord, power to myself this morning, as I want to be a used of You. And so I pray that You would lend Your power, have Your will and way in everything that is accomplished, and we'll do our very best to give You the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the text that we started with, Luke chapter number 1. When we look at that text, I would say this. Now we're going to look at three different examples of where this phrase of fear not, be not afraid is used. And when we look at this, we would say that we could divide it into, I think we can divide it into a couple of categories. When we look at those categories, number one would be this. When we think of Mary, and in Luke chapter number 1, in verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I would say this, that we are on the authority of Scripture. We have the ability and the permission that we should not fear, do not fear God's providence. Do not fear God's providence. Now, let's think of the background or the setting for just a few moments when we think of the providence of God and how it's at work in Mary's life. Number one, notice with me the calmness of Mary's life. Or I guess we could say this, the normalcy of Mary's life. The Scripture tells to us that as the angel comes to Mary, it gives to us no indication that there is anything out of the ordinary that is going on in Mary's life. Mary is a normal young lady. Mary is a normal young lady who has found favor with God, admittedly, but she's somebody who is just involved in routine life. In fact, the Bible tells us that she does not know a man, but the Bible also gives to us from this account and from the account in Luke chapter number 2 that Pastor Newhart read in our scripture reading, and in Matthew's gospel we get the account that Mary was espoused or was going to be married to Joseph. And that they had, rightly so, they had saved themselves for marriage. They did not know each other intimately or physically. And so they were living the normal life that was an honorable and respectable life. Nothing in Mary's life singled her out to say, hey, I want this attention. Hey, I want this opportunity. Hey, I want this distraction, if you would, in my life. Now, when we say distraction, I don't use that term haphazardly. I use that term intentionally. Because when Mary is engaged to or espoused to Joseph to become his wife, certainly the news that she is carrying a child that is not Joseph's is going to be a distraction for their marriage. It is going to be a distraction for their social setting. It's going to be something that could be used against them in a great way, and something that they are going to have to deal with many times over as the news gets out that Mary is carrying a child, yet she is not yet married to Joseph. But when Mary is looking at the calmness of her life, verse number 26 and verse number 27, I think, would paint that pretty good. We don't have to read it again. It's just kind of the scriptural setting for the account that I just gave. She's a normal young lady who's engaged to this man and espoused to this man, waiting on the day that they're going to get married. And once they begin that marriage life together, they expect, I'm sure, to raise children that they would care for, that they would nurture, and that they would love, and that they would raise under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But that's not what happens. In the calmness of life, now, I think when you think of God's providence, that you see the calmness in Mary's life, things are going as usual. But now you see, it goes from calmness to very quickly there becomes a challenge. Verse number 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And beginning with that decree, that Mary, you are blessed. Mary, you should be encouraged by this news. And I imagine that Mary did not understand all that was going on. And Scripture tells us that as she ponders these things in her heart, she comes to this decision that she is going to kind of embrace and to enjoy the provision and the blessing that God has bestowed upon her. But when you think of the providence of God at work in Mary's life, in the middle of a calmness, in the middle of normalcy, in the middle of things going just as she liked them, and the way that she had planned her life, now all of a sudden, out of that calmness comes a challenge, the likes of which she never asked for. A challenge, the likes of which she never conceived. A challenge, the likes of which she never would have signed up for or wanted to do on its face. It's a challenge that is going to confront her socially. It's a challenge that's going to confront her and conflict her emotionally. It is a challenge that is going to be used by the Lord to bring her to a place that Mary perhaps never thought she would be in her walk and relationship with the Lord. But when we understand this, that in the middle of her calmness comes this challenge, and from that comes the questions that she is going to raise. What in the world is this all about? How can I know that this is the truth? How is this possible? Because when you look at God's providence compared with human possibility, those two are not on the same spectrum. They're not on the same scale. When we think of what Mary is being told here, she's saying, Fear not, don't be afraid, because God is providentially at work in your life. Might I say this to you this morning? That it does not matter necessarily how calm things seem in your life today, and it does not matter how challenging things seem in your life today. We need not fear the providence of God working in our life. whether things are going just as we had planned for them to be, or over the last couple of weeks we've gotten the news that we did not want, whether we can see exactly how things are going to work out this week, or whether we don't know how things are going to work out tomorrow, whether it's the calmness or whether it's the challenge, we need not fear the providence of God. God is God, and what He's assuring to Mary through the voice of the angel is that she need not fear God's providence. Child of God, could I tell you this morning that we can share with that comforting words, we can share with that little shortened phrase of fear not, and we can rest assured that we need not fear when God is in control. You see the calmness of Mary's life, things are going just as she expected. Then all of a sudden there comes a challenge. Things kind of turn on their head and things are not as she expected. But then notice verse number 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. There was the calmness, then comes the challenge, and that challenge is met with Mary's consecration, the consecration of Mary's life, in that when faced with this challenge, which is certainly a departure from what she had expected, from what she would have asked for. But when faced with that challenge, Mary's response is, "Lord, I will consecrate myself to Thee. I'm Your handmaid. Let it be." Her trusting, her yielding, her willing submission to the plan of God and His providence. And that was catapulted by those two little words, "Fear not." This morning, you may be in a situation where things are going just like you want them. Praise God. But this morning, you may be at a place where you say, "I never in the world, in my life, imagined that I would be dealing with this problem or this challenge. I've seen others go through challenges, but I never thought that I'm not saying I don't deserve it. I'm not saying that God's being cruel to me. That's not it at all. But I just never thought that I would be in this challenge." Could I suggest to you that like Mary, you hear these words this morning, "Fear not. Don't you be afraid of God's providence. He can work in the calmness. He can work in the challenge. He needs from you a consecrated life. Let it be. Your will be accomplished in my life." Christians don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. Granted, we do from time to time. And fear is, it's one of those natural things, that natural emotions that we must deal with. But when we think of what it is that God is doing, we must remember that God in His providential wisdom has never allowed one challenge to disrupt our calmness that has not first been filtered through His grace. That's an encouragement. There is not one challenge that God allows to interrupt the calmness of our life that has not first been filtered by His grace, and that He cannot use it to draw us closer to Him and to use our lives to give Him glory. Mary is an example of God's providence that we need not fear. But that's not the only time that that phrase is used concerning the birth of the Lord. Turn over now, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 1. Now, we're going to come back to Luke, but turn over to Matthew chapter number 1, if you would. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. We looked here Wednesday night. We'll probably be back here this coming Wednesday night. But let's read the account of the birth of Jesus from Matthew's gospel, and let's pick up on this same truth. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David," there it is, "fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, and as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There was that two-letter word again, I'm sorry, that two-word phrase again, fear not. But this time, the angel's not talking to Mary. The angel's told Mary, fear not. God is providentially at work in your life. There is fixing to be a change in your body. I realize it's the calmness of life, and this is a challenge, but Mary's response was appropriate. But now the angel is speaking to Joseph, and the response is, fear not. Now, we looked Wednesday night, and I don't want to repeat that, but there's certainly a lot of us here that could identify with Joseph and understanding what his fears may be. And honestly, we could also identify with Mary and understanding what her fears may be. The public ridicule, the rejection, the problems, the questions, the opportunity for her to be divorced or even killed under the law. That was certainly a nagging and lingering problem, but God was providentially at work. And so as the angel tells Joseph, fear not, I think what the angel is telling Joseph is this: do not fear God's plan. Do not fear God's plan. You say, oh, well, you're just using them. You're just trying to come up with different words. No, no, no. Understand this. The message and the fear for Mary was different than the message and the fear for Joseph. The concerns were different. Two different individuals, two opposite ends of the spectrum. And as Joseph hears these words, I imagine his first initial thought, if he were like me, would be, yeah, that's easy for you to say. Fear not. It's easy for you to say, you're not the one that just got this news. You're not the one that just has his breath taken away by the news of his spouse. But Joseph's response wasn't that. Joseph's response was one that says, I'm not going to fear God's plan. I would say this, when we say don't fear God's providence, I think the providence of God deals with the human impossibility, or it highlights human impossibility. But when we talk of the plan of God and not fearing that, I think the response that we see is it deals with, immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 18, verse number 19. We don't have to read them again. But we find Joseph gets this news that his significant other, who he has pledged his love and his truth, he has pledged his love and his commitment, he's going to take her as his wife. He gets this news that she's carrying someone else's child. I notice, and I would think, that we could characterize those verses as the pain of Joseph's life. The pain of Joseph's life. What is that pain? Well, the emotional pain, the disappointment that comes with, wait a minute, this is not what I had imagined. The disappointment or the pain of broken dreams, the pain of ruined plans, the pain of changes that were unexpected and unwelcomed. The pain of Joseph's life was a part of God's plan. And might I say this to us this morning, that while we need not fear God's plan, there is no guarantee that we as Christians won't also go through the pain of yielding to God's plan. That's not the most encouraging news this morning. I understand that, but it's the truth. There is oftentimes pain, growing pains, if you would, or those pains of setting aside one thing and heading in a different direction. But when we are yielded to the plan of God, even when it hurts, even when it stings, even when it's uncomfortable, we need not fear the plan of God when He is at work in our life. There's the pain of Joseph's life. But then verse number 20, down through verse number 23, We'll look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, while he's thinking on what things? Well, whether or not he's going to put her away privately or divorce her publicly or even perhaps worse. While he's pondering those things, while he's deciding what is he going to do to eradicate or to eliminate this pain in his life, his response is, I'm not going to do any of those things. Because the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, don't fear. This isn't your plan, I know. It's God's plan. This isn't your plan. It's a better plan. It's a greater plan. You should yield and trust the plan of God. And as Joseph is learning this news, and as he's wrestling with these thoughts, verse number 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph's life at this point is marked by an emotional and a social pain that we probably can't identify with. But then it's followed up with, as the angel tells him, don't you fear God's plan. We see the privilege of Joseph's life. The privilege of Joseph's life. You say, what do you mean? Well, the privilege is he's going to get to raise Jesus Christ. He's going to have the opportunity to spend intimate fellowship and to have an earthly relationship that no one else could claim with Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, the sacrificial Lamb that was coming that would ultimately take his sins away and the sins of the world. He is going to have the opportunity to house him and to feed him and to care for him and to nurture him. And when Joseph realized that this was the plan of God at work, oh my, he took the pain and he realized that although the pain was temporary, it is going to be turned into the greatest privilege that humanity had ever known, was to be able to spend time and fellowship and care and nurture for the sinless Son of God. Only God in His plan can take our pain and our struggles and our sufferings and turn them into a privilege and an opportunity and a blessing. And God, through His providential plan, did just that as He calms the fears of Joseph and says, it hurts for a moment, but the joy and the privilege is going to outweigh and overshadow that tenfold. Don't you be afraid. When you think of Joseph's life and the account that we find in our text this morning, it's marked by pain. There was a hurt as he got that news. There were difficult decisions to be made. But he realized that it was a privilege that he would have that no one else would be able to claim. And then Joseph responds the right way. And I think that's characterized by Joseph's priorities. Those are found in verse number 24. Then Joseph raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. There was no let me think about it. There was no let me consider it. There was no let me go talk to this one and to that one. He just simply obeyed. And his priorities of how would I handle the public outcry, the priorities of how will I sweep this under the rug, the priorities of how will I get myself out of this, those changed. And his priority was, I simply want to obey the will and the plan of my Heavenly Father. Can I tell you this morning? You may be here this morning and you may be going through difficulty. And things right now may be hurting a bit. Pain, like you, an emotional pain or a mental pain, maybe even a physical pain, the likes of which you've never dealt with in your life. Could I encourage you this morning? Don't be afraid of God's plan. God is able to take our pain and suffering and make it a privilege. What He needs from us is that we would respond and make obedience to Him a priority in our life. But then there was another time, another occasion that this fear not was used. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Pastor Newhart read for us verse number 1 through verse number 7. But I want us to pick up after verse number 7 at verse number 8. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, here it is, there's that two-word phrase. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Fear not. Fear not. We saw with Mary a fear not. And I told you that I would characterize that as do not fear God's providence. We saw with Joseph a fear not. And I said to you that I would call that one do not fear God's plan. But now we find these shepherds, group of individuals. We're going to look at them here in just a second. And here they are just doing what shepherds do. No surprises there. They're out taking care of sheep. And guess where they are? They're out in the fields where the sheep are. They're going about their normal life day to day, and they see and hear the angel of the Lord. And as they see and hear this message, the Bible tells us not just that they were afraid, but they were sore afraid. They were very afraid. Now, when you think of what it is that they're the picture of and what is being depicted here, I think it's easily understood why it is that they are afraid. But the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Shepherds out in the field, they weren't typically used to this type of pageantry, so to speak. They weren't used to this type of demonstration. And as they see this going on before them, they see this light, if you would, or the glory of God shining round about them, and their hearts are fearful. The angel says, fear not. I would call it this. Do not fear God's presentation. Do not fear God's presentation. You say, what do you mean? Well, think with me for just a moment about shepherds. When you consider the shepherds, notice first of all the burden, or consider the burden of the shepherd. The burden of the shepherd. You say, what do you mean? They have a pretty simple job. One job, that's to take care of sheep. I agree. But the burden of the shepherd was that they were considered not in the elite. They were not considered in the prestigious crowd. They were the lowest of the low from a social standard. They weren't capable, perhaps, by others' opinions, of doing much else. And so they were delegated and relegated out to this task, the mundane, non-changing task of taking care of sheep. Not a job that many people would aspire to, not a job that many people would seek out to do, and not one that had much hope of being able to rise through the ranks. They were the social outcast. The burden of the shepherd was that they were beneath everyone else. And now when you think of here and how ironic it is that the Lord's glory is shining around about them in a field as they're just doing their normal job, no wonder their hearts are fearful. No wonder they are sore afraid and as they're questioning, what does all of this mean? What does all of this have to do? When you think of the burden or the plight of the shepherd as they were those that were the rejects and they were those that were the outcasts and they were those that were the downtrodden that no one wanted anything to do with. Might I say to you this morning that the shepherds, from a physical standpoint, would be like you and I were from a spiritual standpoint. The rejected, those that we don't bring much to the table because of our filthiness and our unrighteousness and our wickedness. But now the glory of the Lord has shone around about the lowest of mankind. The glory of the Lord has presented itself to these lowly shepherds, and as the bright light or the glory of God is shining around about them, they are afraid. Could I say that there's a picture there? And that picture is exactly what happens when someone who is lost in their sin is exposed to the truth of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Usually, they become a little fearful as the glory of God is demonstrated to them, and the wickedness and their wickedness before that glorious God is made known to them or revealed to them, they become a little fearful. And just as the Holy Spirit speaks to that lost sinner and encourages them that they need not be afraid, just come to the Lord Jesus Christ through saving faith. That's the message that's being revealed to the angels here. To the shepherds, fear not. Don't be afraid concerning God's presentation. Now, the burden of the shepherd is just part of it. Luke chapter number 2, and then verse number 19. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 19. And the shepherd, verse number 20, I'm sorry. Sorry, I told you, I warned you I didn't have my notes, so bear with me. Verse number 15, I'm sorry. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, I told you the burden of the shepherd. The burden of the shepherd is simply their lot in life, the fact that they are the mundane. They're kind of the downtrodden and the outcast. But then we notice what I would call the blessedness of the shepherd. And you might say, well, that's the exact opposite, so how do you get that? Well, think about this. When you consider the burden of the shepherd and who they were and the task that they were, I would picture myself, spiritually speaking, as one of those. A lowly, outcasted reject that had absolutely nothing to offer to the Lord. But who was it that the glory of the Lord was shown to? Who was it that gets this news of the message of the newborn babe that was born in Bethlehem? Who was it that the glory is revealed to? It's not the elite. It's not the most influential. It's not the rulers. It's not the rich or the wealthy. No. It's the shepherds. And what a blessed thought to think that the glory of God would be presented first to the lowly, outcasted shepherd. This morning you may be here, and you may be lost and undone in your sin, never having asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And you may feel that nugging at your heart, or nudging, I guess I would say, and that pulling, that conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you might say, no way, not me. Not me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know the things I've said. You don't know how many times I've been dishonest. You don't know how many times I've lied about this or I've stolen this. You don't know where I'm at. Can't be me. But you, as you listen to the message and as you come Sunday after Sunday, you continue to feel that nudging, that conviction. And you say, I just can't. Not me. Could I remind you that it was the glory of the Lord was presented to the lowly shepherds, not the people who had done all the good, not the rich or the elite. The glory of the Lord was shown first and shown around the lowest of the low. This morning, you might be here and you might be under a burden of sin that I can't explain, that no one else might even understand the things you've done. But could I encourage you of this? If you would allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and to draw you to Himself, He can take that burden and turn it into a blessed peace that comes through salvation that only Jesus Christ can offer. He can present it to you and to me just as he presented himself to the shepherds. The shepherds' burden, their plot in life, they just don't have much going for them. But God takes that tremendous burden and God turns it into a blessed testimony of his power to reach the unreachable. His power to change those that no one else would have. But then I notice this. Shepherds weren't, and this is not really to be a sarcastic point. I want you to follow with me for just a second. The shepherds, when we think of their burden and their lot in life, and that they just weren't the brightest, they just weren't the best, they weren't expected to succeed, they weren't much by society standards. I find this. When you consider their burden, God turns that into a blessedness, but then, or a blessing, and then I find this. Verse number 15 down through verse number 20, we don't have to read it again. But what do the shepherds do? I find, and I would outline it this way, I think we find the brilliance of the shepherds. The brilliance of the shepherds. Wait a minute. These aren't the brightest bulbs in the pack. These aren't voted most likely to succeed. These aren't the who's who. These are shepherds. Shepherds and brilliant do not go together in any setting. Oh, yeah, it does. Verse number 15 down through verse number 20 tells us that they had a message that was worth sharing, and they went and shared it. They had a message that was worth sharing, and they went and shared it. And when you think of the message that they're sharing, they don't really care who believes it. We don't find them squelched. We don't find them crawfishing or backing up when it's rejected or when it's not something that's gladly received or when it's questioned. They just simply have seen the glory of the Lord. Their life has been changed by the news that the babe has been born, that Jesus Christ is here. The sacrificial Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. Salvation's plan is now in place, and they've heard this message. And what do they do with it? They do what only logical minds can do. They went and shared that truth. This morning, could I say to you, we need not fear the providence of God. This morning, we need not fear the plan of God. And this morning, even when God presents things in a way that seem unlikely to us, even when God presents things in a manner it seems unsavory to us or uncharacteristic, and it doesn't really calculate or compute in our minds on the face, we need not fear God's presentation. Remember, he chose first to show his glory to the shepherds. This morning, if you're here, and there's three groups of people that I would speak to. Number one, there's those that are here and you've never been saved, you're lost, and you're on your way, not because I want you to go there, but because Scripture says you are, you're on your way to a place that's called hell. It's destruction. If you're here and you've never been saved, that's your plot. That's your destiny. If you've never been saved, this morning I would encourage you, don't fear the way things look. Don't fear the way they're presented or the way you present yourself. You respond to the speaking and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God and allow Him to work in your heart and to change your life. But this morning, if you're here and you're saying, well, preacher, that's not me, I'm saved. I'm saved, I've been walking with the Lord for a number of years. But boy, things really aren't going the way that I want them to go. Things really aren't going the way I'd planned for them to be. My job is questionable, suspicious at best. or my relationships. Boy, that's just things are, my life is just really going down the tube, and I just don't know what's going to happen. This morning, could I encourage you? Don't leave here afraid of the providence of God or His plan. Don't. This morning, allow yourself to take comfort in those two words that were repeated three times, all concerning the birth of Jesus. Fear not. And might I say to you, the reason that Mary could be told fear not, and the reason Joseph was told fear not, and the reason the shepherds were told fear not, was because Jesus Christ had come, and He would take away and give to them the ability to walk and to live without fear. And the same reason you can take assurance in fear not is because Jesus Christ has come and has given to us the ability to walk and to live without fear. But then maybe there's another group. And that would be the group that I would say this. Regardless of you're here this morning and you're saved, you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been living for Him faithfully. But I would ask you if you would liken yourselves to the shepherds, and how effective are you at sharing the message that's worth sharing? It was worth believing, you believed it. It was worth trusting, you trusted it. But how effective are we at sharing the message that we've believed and that we've trusted? Do we do what we're supposed to? Do we take advantage of the opportunities that we have to reach others and to share that truth and that message that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has come? Salvation is possible through Him. Christian, fear not. Sinner, this morning I would say you have some things to fear, but the good news is Jesus Christ has come to offer salvation to all mankind. If He speaks to your heart, you do what He have you to do, and fear not. Let's pray together.